for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Chad Gilbert here tonight from Newfound Glory.
Hello.
Hello, Chad.
How you doing?
Jordan is going to be in here from Newfound Glory in just a couple of few.
Yes.
Catalyst, name of the CD, out today as we speak. The Newfound Glory CD is out. These guys are playing the Vans Warped Tour this year. You did it last year, too?
No, actually not last year. We did it the year before.
Last.
Yeah.
When were you on the show last?
I don't know. It was, what, 2 years ago for our last record?
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah?
For the release of our last record.
Definitely the other studio. That was a year ago now.
Yeah. I'm going to be playing at the world-famous K-Rock Weenie Roast on June 12th, which is always an honor. Always an honor for the bands to be asked to play.
Big show.
Yeah, I don't want to take you off the Newfound Glory track too far, but speaking of honors, I went to Starbucks today, one managed by Chris's brother, Craig.
What, he gave me a free stir?
I mean, handed me a coffee.
Really?
Went, come over here. Your money's no good here.
Wow.
He heard what Adam said.
Wow.
Yeah, he heard what happened.
He wasn't even there. Well, what happened? I wasn't even sure what they'd heard because bad stuff was said about the poor guy.
50 cents worth of free coffee.
I think he said something like a couple of days ago, you know, just like, Craig doesn't hook it up, you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
So it's very happy. It's actually very funny. They were all like in a panic.
Well, okay, Drew. But
you should do that with everywhere. Like, talk about Best Buy and stores.
I got to tell you, I really pictured radio, like all the years I thought about radio, I thought it was just going to be nothing but chicks and Cokes and like super expensive mountain bikes. And I'd open a closet in the station and just a whole bunch of booty would come out. Just tons of junk.
Freebies,
stereo equipment. Like, I'd be getting like just DVDs and CDs up the wazoo and MP3 players and all snowboards. Not really. No. Once in a blue moon, someone floats you a pair of Vans or a sweat jacket that's a couple sizes too small.
I still wear my Uggs from 5 years ago.
Drew got some free Uggs. Once in a while, they do this. They come in and they go, the guys from Doc Martens want to give you some free boots, so they're going to need your sizes. And then you give them the sizes and you pick out like stuff from a catalog. And then fast forward to 6 months. Hey, producer Ann, whatever happened to those Doc Martens? I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember, fast forward 3 months, they show up, different shoes, different sizes.
Totally different shoes, different sizes.
It always happens like that. It happens for bands, too.
It does.
Yeah. You order, you get a catalog, you pick everything out, and...
Yeah, you thought it was going to all work out, and it never did.
But it's hard to complain.
I can complain. I just thought it was going to be endless. And then once in a while, then people start sending you stuff.
Yeah.
But it's homemade zucchini loaf, and, the whole part about the freebies hasn't panned out, Drew.
We've had some crowning glory, some memorable moments with the freebie food that arrives. We got the almonds from the one guy, and
we got a nice can of nuts.
We got the huge thing.
We got a lot of nuts.
We got the free chairs.
Got a lot of nuts.
Guy in my work got mad at me the other day because I have a nutty semi-stalker. Not stalker in a bad way, just a guy who writes long, ambling notes to me while he's on vacation and stuff. And he sent me, like, a homemade carrot cake.
Oh.
And I looked in, I sized it up, and I was like, I'm not so sure about this. And then when I was walking, I went over to one of my writer friends at Kimmel's. I went to Paul, you like carrot cake? And I plopped it down on his desk. He ate the entire thing. Then the following day, I explained to him that it was anonymously sent to me in the mail by a
And we got chocolate popcorn. Remember that?
Yes.
That was good.
All right. Jordan is now joined us from Newfound Glory.
Sorry, Chris Georgian was driving me, and he didn't know where he was going.
You had chronic diarrhea, man.
Yeah,
come on.
I pooped
myself. You were in the bathroom.
Sorry.
Point is we're all here. We're queer. Let's get used to it. That's all I'm saying.
Wasn't that on an HBO special or something?
Oh, it's been around long before HBO was around. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
You remember the marches in the 70s.
I remember you saying that.
You were spearheading
the
charge. Yeah. Let me just give a tip to all the gays who march. You would get more respect if you weren't sporting the chaps and the nipple rings. Like, if you weren't towing your boyfriend by a chain attached to his nipples, perhaps... Congress would listen.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The problem is the gays want to march every once in a while, and they have some valid points, but off come the slacks, on go the chaps, and
no one's
listening.
There's a strange reaction formation, which is like, how dare you question or judge anything about us, therefore we're going to let you have it. And then people go, okay, we don't have them enough.
Right. All right. All right. We're going to hear something from Newfound Glory. Like I said, they're going to be playing the Weenie Roast this year, which is just, well, 13 hours of drunken fun. And I like, you know what I want to do? I want time-lapse photography in the bathroom this year, because to see that thing go from a pristine operating room about noon to just
overflowing
mess of just like a hippo flopped in there.
But I, you know, I still have the scent of funk in my nose from last year.
Well, you know what it is? When guys heave, you know, they heave the beer up in there, the toilets get overflown.
All the sweaty people, all that sweaty BO, vomit,
let's make a deal this year because it's always 170 degrees.
Yes.
It always is.
Yes,
and, you know, the thing is, it's June, and it's warm in June, but it can be 79. It does not have to be 114, yet it always is 114 at the Weenie Roast. How about we make some rule where fellas keep the shirt on? Because the big yoked guys with the tats and the nipple ring, and then they get the funk going. And next thing you know, you get in the pit or something. You get some of that. Now, here's nothing worse than getting some of that pit funk rubbed on you. And you think
horrible.
It's your funk.
I got to tell you, what's most disturbing is not the male funk.
The female funk? Downstairs?
No.
Really?
No. It's just
on the shoulders, right, Drew?
No,
you got the back of the neck funk? What, Drew?
I'm just saying that it's always shocking to me, and especially pungent, though people are sweaty and stinky.
Yeah, when a lady gets it going.
It's like, oh, whoa.
Yeah,
whoa.
You're used to it from a guy. I'm just saying, fellas, may we keep the shirts on this year, and we try like hell to hit the urinal when we're doing the number ones.
Yes, thank you.
And here's the other thing, too. People are very casual about the urinal. Like the thing is, like, when they're whizzing in a toilet, there's pressure. Hey, I got to hear some water. I got to hit something here.
Yeah.
I can't just whiz all. The urinal, it's like, well, this is sort of outside. I'm like sort of half, it's kind of part outhouse, part bathroom.
Part wall.
And so guys just kind of leaning back. Yeah, all right, I'm hitting the handle. I'm not quite making it there.
they don't care.
And no need to flush, by the way, either, at the urinal. For some reason, at the toilet, you got to flush. You bend over, flush.
I don't like using the urinal because it splashes back.
Yeah, it gets back spray.
You get other people's urine on you. It's not
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, it's like a horrible trip on one of those boats at Niagara Falls, but a bad dream Niagara Falls, you know. But yeah, I like the guy who then walks away, even if you're behind him in line. When those lines get 11 guys
real
deep,
long.
It's just I'm just whizzing. I got a nice compote of jerk chicken and some X and a pot brownie and a vitamin B multivitamin.
And paper towels.
There you go. Here's a present for you, buddy. You up next? There you go.
You know what's probably worse than that, than Weenie Roast, is probably the Ozfest. I can't imagine being on the Ozfest
all the steak
the
heads.
Whole summer. Because Warped Tour is, you know, you get that, the porta potties, whatever. But the kids are younger, not a lot of drinking going on at the Warped Tour. There's some, but I can't imagine Ozfest.
Yeah.
All
you got a salty crew there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got guys with the long hair who are bald, too. You know, the bald dude with the long hair. Yeah,
when,
he's whipping up something.
When did rock concerts become pirate ships?
I don't know. people, the problem with the normal rock concerts, you know, the ones that go on for, 3 hours, people only get so heated. The problem, the ones that starts at noon and ends at 1 a.m., people are just blasted by 9 in the evening. And that's, guys, when they get loaded, that's when the fecal and the urine stuff goes south.
We visited that once.
It goes south.
I get that.
All I'm saying is, flush the goddamn urinal. I'm behind you in line. Do I got to see your work? Do I have to admire your work? Have some dignity. And by the way, isn't it satisfying flushing a urinal? Feels good. It's like a handle, like stick shift of a Corvette or something like that.
It's quaint now, too. It actually flush a toilet. You go to the airport, you don't flush anymore.
Yeah,
it flushes
for
you.
They got the eye. Yeah, get up there and flush it.
There you go.
All right. Newfound Glory, everybody.
Get up there
new
and
album.
Flush it.
Get up there and flush it. Name of the new CD. Out today. We'll hear something. Actually, we'll hear more than something. We'll hear twice of something off of the CD. We'll hear something in the 10 o'clock and then 11 o'clock hour. All right. Taryn?
Yeah.
Taryn? Uh-oh, wait a minute. Is this that one that called before?
And what happened?
I yelled at her because every time she says her name to somebody, they have to then say...
this is Taryn.
They go, Karen? No, Taryn. You spend your entire life doing that? I'm so mad at your parents, Taryn. Taryn?
Yeah.
You can tell her phone's not kicking in.
I don't know. What's happening here, Drew? Drew, I got 45 minutes more I can do on the Duke
I
and
know.
The urine and stuff if you want.
Unlimited amounts of Duke talk, yes.
All right.
Duke talk.
Mike?
Yo.
Yeah, see, something's wrong with our phones.
All right. All right. Well, you think you want to try another one?
Just start going down the line and see if we can get somebody.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Oh, he's on?
Right, there
okay,
we
let's go.
Go
back to...
Well, don't talk to Mike. We'll talk to Taryn.
Yeah.
Taryn?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Taryn, so you have to correct everyone and explain to them that your name's not Karen?
No, usually I just let it go.
Oh, good.
Oh, we like
that's what I like.
I dated a girl named Taryn.
Really?
Yeah.
And would she always have to do the correction with the Karen?
No.
Really?
At least I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She was lucky.
She worked at a baked potato stand in the mall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a good connection. Depending on how old
awesome.
You are, that's a great
yeah.
connection.
I was like 16.
Going cool. to the mall, getting free baked potatoes.
Yeah,
was
a
good.
Popka.
Taryn?
Yeah.
What's happening, baby doll?
Okay. Well, I'm like 26, and I've just started, like, when I'm going down on my boyfriend, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, like, I have this uncontrollable urge to urinate, and I can't stop it. And I'm just wondering what's that
wow.
coming from.
So you actually pee?
Coming from the
yeah.
badge.
Do you have an orgasm?
Sometimes a little
see,
one,
yeah.
but not always.
A little one.
Uh-huh.
Well, what position? Do you have a little orgasm, like a mini one?
Yeah.
Micro.
Yeah, microgasm.
There you go.
Just as long as, you know, you get it.
Go ahead, Chaz. Come on, buddy.
Do with the position.
Jump in.
Nothing. Yeah. I was just going to try to, you know, relate this to the Ozfest and making it in the urinal, but I couldn't find it.
Are you in a certain position you're in when this happens?
Usually if I'm, like, kneeling.
And that's when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just some combination of what the irritation that occurs with arousal in that position. So you got to just kind of
never. But we've never heard this, have we?
We haven't. But that is a good description of female orgasmic incontinence, though. It's just like things dilate, relax, and there's some contraction and pow in a certain position. That's where.
Is
it
there any way yeah. to be stopped?
Can it be stopped? Change your position.
Well, that besides that, I mean,
no.
I don't want to.
No.
That's not like, cool.
Well, no. What I mean is, what if you, what Drew means is, what if you stand up and he lies
right.
down on the bed and you lean over him, something
right.
like that?
Right.
Right. Yeah, that way it doesn't happen. That's why it
so
doesn't
matter. So, in the
right.
one position, in the one position, there will not be a way to control it. Not likely.
Okay.
You can do Kegel exercises and that
yeah.
sort of thing that might happen.
How about you just plant yourself on the toilet? Because that's about right.
Right, right.
Yeah. If you think about it. And for the guy,
men are very practical.
It's good for the guy because there's the magazine rack is right there.
Well, it's home.
It's yeah, home. It's home. Yes. It feels right.
It's like a Blumpkin.
Yeah,
easy. It is like a. It's a reverse Blumpkin.
Easy cleanup. It's awesome.
What's a Blumpkin?
Well, a Blumpkin is a. It's kind of like a reverse scenario of a guy, but you know, doing number two. Why?
He's taking a poop while he's getting head.
That's a Blumpkin.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow.
Very quaint.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like
never done it before, but, you know.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a reverse Blumpkin.
Yeah, it looks
she'll
like
a peeing.
Like,
right.
It sounds like a character from Brothers Grimm.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Blumpkin.
Now I'm the Blumpkin.
Maria?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I'm Blumpkin. 16, like you said. And I have a boyfriend. I've only been with him for, like, 3.5 months. I'm considering having sex with him, which would be losing my virginity to him.
Right, he's beating you down, right? He's begging you.
No, not at all.
Really?
Not at all.
Mm.
That's kind of why I
reverse.
Interesting.
Interesting strategy. Yeah. Pretending he doesn't want to. Yeah.
No, it's not.
I never thought of that. Interesting. Well, that's some thought. Mm-hmm.
No,
all right.
Like,
so, how old is he? He's 17.
Yeah, he'll be 18 soon.
Well, 16 is before 16. I definitely would not recommend you go ahead with this. After 16, I still not met a woman who didn't wish she'd waited if she lost her virginity anytime under 18. You know what I'm saying?
Everyone wishes it was a little different, a little better, or whatever.
Not males.
Guys don't wish it was further down. They wish they did a better job. They wish the chick was into it. You always do that real squirrely thing. You're like 15 and a half. You just get done screwing for like 10 seconds. You got that wind-up beanie on, and you're like, did you come? Chick's sitting there smoking. Next. true. You never did that, did you? Come. I know a lot. I was talking to a friend of mine who did that.
That still happens now.
Man. I love that. Did you come? I didn't know we'd started.
Yeah, Maria, if you really like him, if this is what you want to do, I mean, this is something that's with you for a long time. It's a you'll be bonded with him in ways that you may not be prepared to sort of manage.
How long have you been with him?
Three months.
Well, you said a long time. That's not that long. You
know, if she plans to stay with him.
Oh, I see. And here's the other thing, too. Sure, he's going to turn 18.
Yeah.
And shouldn't you be able to be grandfathered in?
Well, most states
you start
do.
Having sex before and then you get illegal?
No.
You know what I mean?
I think in a lot of states you're still illegal even if you're young. There's crazy stuff like that out there, too.
You mean she's 16, he's 17.
Well, in California, you'd be okay.
In most states.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he turns 18.
Gosh, it's still okay in California. Again, a lot of states have that law now where there's a three-year window they can maintain.
So
that window,
he's an adult and she's a minor, it's still legal.
In certain states, yeah.
All right, but in general, it's not, is it?
In general, a lot of states, it's not.
All right, well, stop that then, Drew, picking out the exceptions.
It's 16 at Washington, so
okay.
He's fine.
All I'm saying is your nuts should get grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Like the guys in hockey didn't have to put the helmet on after they made the rule because they were in the league long enough. This is the same thing. You've been nailing her since you were 17. Now you're 18, but you got her when you were, not an adult.
Yep.
All right, that's why you got to move now.
It's okay to do it now. Think about it. Make sure you have proper protection.
Right. Okay, and I had another question.
What?
I'm kind of worried about getting all weird about it because I heard that from you guys, I think, about how there's certain races that are, like, freaky about it.
What?
Certain races that are freaky about it?
Like, because of how protected you were as a kid, like, from your parents.
Well, what's your race?
Mexican.
Oh, no. Oh, 16. You're an old maid. You should have started at 11. You kidding? You're the world's oldest Mexican virgin at 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
They get started early.
You know how they get the ears pierced early?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Same with the virginity.
Yeah.
Ears pierced about 3 months. Virginity goes about 9 months.
The ears, then the hymen.
Then the hymen. Yeah.
Pierce low, pierce the
high. Oh, I love it.
Maria, what are you talking about? Races freaking out. I don't know what you're referring to.
All right, I don't know. Look, here's the point. And by the way, Mexican ain't one of them. You're Korean, your parents freak on you. Yeah. Jews, they just give you the cold shoulder.
You're not my child.
Oh, if your Nana could see this.
No, you're not my child.
Rolling over in her grave. They guilt you out a little bit. Yeah, you're not my daughter. Yeah. If you do something good, it's such a son.
God forbid it's with a non-Jewish girl, too.
Oh.
Shiksa.
Oh, the shiksa and the goyim.
Oh, shame. But anyway, listen, she will be... One of the things we haven't talked about in a long time is how when young kids, 16, 17 olds get together, it kind of hooks them together.
I mean, yeah.
They develop emotional bonds that
are
pretty intense. And that's, above all else, provided you take proper protection, you're responsible, whatnot, that is something I worry about for people. They get joined at the hip.
We say this, if you have to ask, maybe you're too young.
Yeah.
If you're going in with a lot of trepidation and a lot of, I'm not sure I'm going to... If you're going in sort of half-cocked, pardon the pun,
maybe I ought to put it off a few months.
Believe me,
your boyfriend is not going in unenthusiastically.
No,
he's going like a freight train.
Omar is on the horn, got a question for Newfound Glory. Omar?
Yeah, hello?
Omar?
Hello?
What's happening?
Hey, yeah, I just want to say love you guys,
Thanks, pal.
Listen to Newfound Glory like all the time.
Thanks, pal.
Thank you very much.
Yep, and I just wanted to see talk about the new CD.
Okay, cool.
I heard it had, like, breakdowns and stuff. Is that true?
Had what?
Like, breakdowns, like hardcore breakdowns?
Yeah. There's an intro to the CD.
Yeah.
We call it the intro, and it's about a 37-second long...
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty, groundbreaking.
Write that down so don't forget.
The intro. And, we
always try to add that little element into all of our...
Yeah, cause I heard on the last CD, I can hear. I'm like, yeah, that sounds kind of like a breakdown. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think, well, the thing is we our band's been inspired by so many different styles of music, so
yeah.
As we get older and write songs, we're able to pull from those influences more, because mm-hmm. we're better musicians
yeah.
from experience, so there's definitely a way more of the hardcore influence on this record, but then there's also a couple songs that are really slow and you know,
yeah.
all ballads, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
it's like, it's kind of both
it's like
extremes.
Like a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well,
let me say this, Omar.
Yeah.
We could sit here and talk about it with the band all night, or I could talk about it, and I think I'm going to do that, Drew. Even
or,
though I'm not familiar. What?
Or we could hear a song.
Oh,
yes. Oh,
I thought
yeah.
I might just talk about it.
Oh, no, not
okay.
a song.
All right, let's hear a song. Come on, Anderson. Don't be
no,
a pain
really,
in our ass.
Drew. You of all people.
Song's
fast.
My it's like, you know, it's like 3 minutes.
We
three
take
minutes
breaks
and 12
at
20,
seconds. Though. Why would we go to a song at 20?
That's sweet. Right. And then we go right to break. Newfound Glory.
We tease the song.
This one's called, we queued up, by the way?
Yeah.
All Downhill from Here.
Yeah.
Cause it's burning through your eyes. I try to get it out, but all I hear from you are lies. You still want me around, and it's all downhill from here, and it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, Newfound Glory, everybody. Oh, that's a good song.
Thank you.
I predict a hit. And you know what? An ending, a song with an ending. Not that just sort of overlapping, drifting off, potting the thing down. An ending. You know where to end it, you know? And when you're doing air guitar or air drums or anything, you know, when the songs that just fade out, you know when to stop. It's like the Partridge Family. They just start clapping. The audience would just start clapping while they were just sort of bowing and the song was still playing at the end. No, it has an ending.
Speaking of an ending.
Yeah.
Before Anderson has
Drew's
a stroke.
Drew's got to leave.
No.
Oh. All right. Newfound Glory is here tonight. Chad and Jordan both here from the band. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Newfound Glory in here tonight. Jordan and Chad.
Hello.
Nelly Furtado is coming in here a little later in the week. I like her.
I thought maybe you meant tonight.
Yeah. Well, you guys hang around for like 47 hours. And,
yeah, we'll stop by again.
Yeah, just pop in on Thursday, pretend like you want to say hi to Stryker, and then just say hi to Nelly Furtado, who, you know, she hasn't been, you know, it's like she was in, she came in about, it must have been about 2.5, 3 years ago now. She was hailed as the next, I don't know, Alanis Morissette or whatever, and then things didn't really work out, although I think...
They sure...
Well, I mean, everyone agrees that she's really good, and she worked and everything, and I don't, it's hard to tell whether she wanted to be a household name or not, but, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from her. I think she's really talented, and she's certainly cute.
Yeah.
I like to see her.
Like, I'm a fan of Nelly Furtado, and her first CD was really poppy and really catchy, and I think that's why it was huge, mm-hmm. but her second record, when I listen to it, I think there's a reason why it's not huge, because the songs are more... kind of trying more on the creative tip, arty tip, that mm-hmm. might be harder to digest on a pop station. You
not
know?
Not commercial.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, hopefully...
But I heard of it.
Well, we won't tell her anything about this conversation, Drew.
but that's actually not
what
a bad
she's
thing.
Listening right
that's
now?
Actually not a bad thing. By doing a creative record, that's fine. I mean, because I'm sure she was aware of it, you know?
Right.
You don't have to record records for the radio, you know?
No, there's a handful, believe it or not, a handful of people in the industry who aren't just looking to get, you know, FaceTime on Entertainment Tonight and get their name seen on the billboards. There's a... Some people just want to make a living and do their thing creatively.
Yeah, well, it's funny because it always...
No one in this room.
No. No way. No, it always seems like to happen on the second records of big artists, because these pop artists come out and they have, like, gigantic, smash, big, you know, 10 million album, and then they go away and want to learn who they are as people.
Yeah, and they made enough money to buy themselves a few years of finding out who they are. All right. Well, she'll be in here Thursday, and I'll kiss her ass. Yes, Drew?
No doubt.
No doubt.
Great.
Heather?
Yeah?
Heather?
Yes, this is me.
You're 21?
21.
What's up?
I am doing a speech in my class tomorrow, and I was wondering if you had any referrals for where somebody could get morning after pill. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it on the alternative to abortion, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not really an alternative to abortion because you never get pregnant.
Well,
with that.
You don't have to have an abortion then. You didn't get pregnant.
My hopes were to provide alternatives if they got into a situation where they would be afraid that they were pregnant and to provide ways out of that.
Yeah, again, Heather, it's not this. It prevents pregnancy. You do not get pregnant with the morning after pill.
By the way, she's. You're going to Cal State Northridge?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay, let me talk about that. This is a four-year junior college. First off, this is a college. It's in Northridge. It's in the corner of the valley I grew up in. There can be no institute of higher learning that can take place in the valley. It can't happen. It's anti. I don't know, something about the smog and the oppressive heat. It fries the kids' brains. I don't know if it does something in the textbooks. After 28 years at Valley College, this is where my mom transferred to for the rest of her life now.
Nice.
And I think she's back at junior college now. But the point is do not mistake Northridge as a real university. It's a 4-year junior college, and this is what we're talking about. All right, Heather. Sorry,
but I'm actually transferring next semester.
Where?
To Cal Lutheran.
Cal Lutheran.
It's out there in the valley too.
Is that in the valley?
Thousand Oaks.
Yeah.
Thousand Oaks.
Really? Yeah. Okay. That's just making it out of the valley.
Yeah.
There's probably can do some learning there.
But listen, Heather, I don't. You do not get pregnant with the pill. The sperm doesn't get to the egg if you take the morning after pill.
Yeah. You're
confusing RU486 with emergency contraception.
Right.
No, but see, what I was wanting was referrals as to where they could get the morning after pill.
Any pharmacy,
and they need a prescription, correct?
Not most pharmacies, not in this state. You call the number you can dial 1-800-NOT-TOO-LATE, N-O-T, number 2-L-A-T-E.
Here's the bizarre part.
Refer you to pharmacy, you can get it without the prescription.
This is for a ceramics class, so it's going to catch a lot of students off guard.
No, it's for speech class, actually.
Oh, it's for speech. All right, do you have any of it in front of you?
No, I don't.
All right.
It's on the computer. Right.
But you understand that this is not, it would avoid the need for abortion ever, right?
Yeah. All right, yes. Drew, here's what's been going on this godforsaken show of ours.
I know.
Ever since we moved to the studio, there's been a problem in that we cannot hear the people's response, which is, you know, not a great thing when you're doing a talk radio program, but yet it's worse. How could it get worse, you say to yourself? How could this problem, where you're doing a national talk show, get worse if you cannot hear the responses of people you're speaking to? Here's the worst part. The audience can hear the response. Only we can't hear the response. Actually, it gets a little bit worse. Anderson didn't tell us for the first 6 months that people couldn't hear. So we just seem like idiots. Huh? What? What did you say? Say
whatever.
It again.
No, we don't even do that. It's like, right? All right, whatever. That's how we...
Yeah, while they're responding, we're going, okay, well, this is crap.
Next caller.
I'm punching something while they're trying to give the response. My grandfather died 9 months ago. Okay, this sucks. So that's basically what it sounds like.
Real quick, that I was gone for the first 2 weeks.
I don't know how it can be rectified. I just got to believe it can.
In the last two nights, the first 5 seconds of the person on the phone talking to us every time they speak has been unhearable.
It's a problem and it needs to be addressed. But just for can I tell you that when the first 2 weeks that it was going on, I wasn't even in the studio. So I told you as soon as I came back, so please just get off my job.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah, it seemed like it went a little longer in 2 weeks.
Suddenly, the last couple of days, has been every single time.
Yes.
Every call, every response, now we can't hear.
I blame Likas.
So please understand we cannot hear what these people are saying, and that's why we're just stepping over. But I wish the audience couldn't hear it either own selfish way, because
sense.
It just makes
it
things more confusing.
It would be fine.
Right.
There wouldn't be a problem.
And we wouldn't seem like such world-class a-holes.
Such world-class.
Right. As it is, we're sort of a-holes on a national level. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. You know, you guys, you hear about the international jewel thieves, but you don't hear about the regional guys. The guys that just work in the Glendale, Burbank
the local
area,
guys.
The local.
Local jewel thieves.
Yeah, the guys that are just sort of, they're jewel thieves.
The local man of mystery.
Yeah, but they're not working Milan, and they don't have a place out of New York. They just work their area, Eagle Rock, Glendale, let's say.
Yeah.
You know? They're jewel thieves. They're just not the international ones.
They were the equivalent of the white tuxedo with the black tie. They were those parachute pants with the big belt.
They're local guys.
Yeah.
They're keeping it real. Maybe they're living at home,
and
maybe they don't like to fly.
Right.
Yeah. And you know these guys hang out with? The guys who are not masters of disguise, but they're just sort of okay. They're not great.
They're good at disguise.
No one would call them great. Yeah, they're going to call them a master. They would just say, that guy, as far as disguises go... Not a master. He's decent. I give him a six. I give him a six. Six, seven. He hangs out with the regional jewel thieves. You know, the guy's just working the area.
Of course.
All right.
Six.
Yep, six. Casey?
What's up?
You're 20?
Yeah, I'm 20.
Got a question for the band?
Yeah, I was just curious what your guys' favorite songs are off the CD.
This is Chad, and my favorite songs are The Truth of My Youth and Ending in Tragedy.
I like number 7, Doubtful, a lot. This is Jordan. And how you doing? And yeah.
And the rest
is
crap.
I would say, yeah, the rest is crap.
What's your favorite song?
Your Biggest Mistake's a good song, too.
That's a good song, too.
It's a great-looking CD, by the way. I don't know who did the art for it, but it's really interesting.
A guy named Gunner, I think.
Yes. Yeah. He's a tattoo artist out of Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh, no way?
Yeah, I was going to get tattooed out here, and I looked through a tattoo magazine. It was the time when we were looking for... We wanted to have the cover, like, you know, a painting or something, illustration or something like
right.
that. And I saw this guy who did tattoos and does paintings, so it was kind of... It worked out. I got in touch with him over email, and he thought I was lying. He didn't believe me.
Oh, really?
Because I guess some of his friends, like...
That's
like,
good.
Some of his friends like Newfound Glory, and he was like, yeah, I don't believe you, you know?
Oh, he thinks it's his friends screwing with him.
Exactly.
The cool thing about having a tattoo artist as opposed to a painter... is a painter has to add their, like, artistic whole, you know, look on it.
Right.
Tattoos just say, hey, this is what we want. And they just do it.
Right.
Yeah. He looks like a guy that I wouldn't want to meet in an alley by himself.
Yeah.
I mean, what, is there a picture of him?
No. I mean, just the feel of the painting.
He'd stab you with something.
Yeah.
The work is phenomenal, though. The caricatures of the band are, like,
it's
spot
fun.
On.
Yeah.
And the cover's awesome. And it's really a piece of art. And by the way, What size does he work in? Like, I mean, obviously this is
that was
5x5, but
that was huge.
The head of that record label executive on the cover is the size of his head. He sent him a picture of it, and it's
really?
5 feet by 5 feet or something. It was like
he painted this in a very large scale
on a wall.
Wow, where is the painting?
The label has it right now.
I think a label's going to give it away for something.
Oh, really?
I think
it's really cool.
All the band members should get in a ring and fight for it.
Yeah.
But they want to give it away as a contest.
It's really, like I said, I know there's a lot of thievery going on the internet these days and downloading and all that kind of stuff, but you can't download this. I mean, this is just some of the most unique and interesting and really really
disturbing.
Disturbing.
There you go, Gunner. Well,
thank you.
No, not even. It's not really nightmarish. It's just kind of a scary funhouse kind of.
Yeah, it's supposed to make people feel like, I mean, you know, it's supposed to be kind of like this happy, dark. I mean, you know, everyone's smiling and it looks cute, but it still gives you a weird feeling. And that's kind of like, I don't know, it's just what we wanted to portray. And the thing is, too, is we looked at all of our older record packaging and we're like, man, our packaging isn't, I don't know, just kind of more basic. You know, I mean, there was we like our old packaging, don't get me wrong, but we wanted to kind of go all out this time and really...
I miss the old ones from the 70s where they just got the guys together, they crossed their arms, usually put the drum kit in there somewhere. It'd be nice so people knew what band it was, you know, because the bass drum had the actual band name on it.
But they have a huge... It's an album cover that's like, you know, 9 inches across. And they shrink the picture down to 3 inches and have a big, nice brown border all around.
Yeah.
Huge brown border.
Yeah. Guys all folding their arms, looking angry that someone had to get them together for a photo. And then they would hang a sheet behind them sometimes that had the band's name. And that was about it. If people sort of turned and looked angry, it was...
like a Leonard Skinner album or something.
Yeah, it was good. And it was always real creative when on the back of the album, it was them, their backs. And now they're looking around their shoulder. That was always good.
I forgot what album it was. Remember the Emerson, Lake & Palmer?
Yeah.
You know how it was like the silhouettes of their three faces next to each other?
Yes.
That was good.
Oh, yeah. Brain salad.
We're gonna redo that one.
Let me tell you, I never was more angered as an artist and as an American and a patriot and a broadcaster than when I was singing an Emerson, Lake & Palmer song on my karaoke machine, and they screwed with the words. They cleaned up the words one of the songs. Like, it was a... And it was a song they used to play on the radio and stuff. It was just the line about the seven virgins and a mule.
Welcome back, my friends.
Welcome back, my friends. I was in it, and I was riding, and I was kicking into overdrive, and all of a sudden they screwed with the words, and it screwed up. Everyone blamed me. They thought I screwed up. I got confused. I got angry. The night was over.
You stormed out.
Stormed out of my own house.
They had to make the audience go away.
Slammed the door, and then had to come back later, realize, and then kick everyone else out. It's tough when you storm out of your own place. You know, you got to come back.
You have a karaoke machine?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Where do you buy one of those things? It's like a nice car.
I got the good stuff.
Like they have in Japan. Like
I got the good stuff. Let me tell you about my ability to sing karaoke. I used to belt it out over at Kimmel's house. His daughter came downstairs crying one night after a particularly moving rendition of Hell Is for Children by Pat Benatar. Actually came down the stairs just crying. What's going on? Stop!
Anderson, don't we have some old tape of Adam doing in karaoke?
No, we don't.
Come on, Anderson. I know you've got that in the
archive. I'll tell you, Drew,
somewhere.
When I get and start the karate kicking and the punching into space and running, the sweat starts pouring off my head, it's powerful.
We like to bust out some Billy Joel sometimes. Piano Man, Linda Carlisle.
We actually had a funny karaoke experience on us and that band, Good Charlotte, did a co-headlining tour.
Oh, sure.
A civic tour. Mm-hmm. And whatever, that's how I talk, I'm sorry. And we did this co-headlining tour, and the tour started in North Dakota. And both bands went to this, you know, this Wings place.
It was like a
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a Wednesday night, and it was the happening, you know, bar, Wings, karaoke, right. And Jordan, all these guys did karaoke. It was pretty entertaining, and it was a good time.
We did like Living on a Prayer.
Oh yeah, that's a powerful one.
Yeah. That gets the crowd going.
We got to take a break, but we're gonna bleed this one into the break, Drew, because I got suggestions. Newfound Glory here tonight. Oh yeah, well, the theme from Taboo too. Sure, we'll take ourselves a quick break.
ET's kid,
and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew just coming in the studio because we just had a freaky experience.
Lauren just had a seizure.
Jordan and Chad both here from Newfound Glory. Now, here's basically what happened.
We had evidence of being higher than ourselves.
The Great Magnet, his work was afoot out in the hall. All right, let me just say a couple things. First off, we share a radio station with a classic rock station, which is across the hall.
We share a building.
Yeah. And we have to listen to the classic rock as we walk to the bathroom every night. Usually, we get a lot of Bob Seger, and then I come in angry, by the way, because if I hear a ZZ Top, She's Got Legs, again, I'm going to put a bullet in my mouth, and if I got to hear the Witchy Woman by the Eagles or Dirty Laundry by Don Henley, I'm going to fall on a goddamn sword. That stuff sucks so badly. And it's just usually just an endless hallway of crappy, overplayed 70s garbage. Not that there's not good music from that era. It's just you won't hear it in that hallway on the way to the bathroom. Now, I think Jordan brought up ELP. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Yeah.
Big 70s band that most of you have never heard of. And to be fair to Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, our audience hasn't heard of anything.
Right.
So if anyone from, you know, if Emerson, Lake, or Palmer is listening to the show, please understand that our audience is basically comprised of, like, just degenerates and retards and the unemployable.
They like Godsmack.
They haven't heard of anything ever.
But we've never really discussed that.
We have never brought up
on the air.
ELP on the
Certainly
air.
Certainly not the song that Adam has sung to.
I never brought up my Carnival Number 9 and the butchery of it with the karaoke process. We just walked down the hall, and what was playing over the speakers from 93.1
That's what's being broadcast on this station was that song.
Emerson, really? Lake, and Palmer.
Wow. Carnival, and we've never heard it over there.
Number 9.
How weird
we've
is that?
We've never heard it played
That's
in that hall.
Man. No. That's crazy.
And believe me, we would take note if we heard a good song.
I just did buy the Yes box set.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Smart.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Hours and hours and hours and hours of listening.
Let me explain to everybody.
The 10-minute songs.
I know everyone's, you know, the whole idea is anything old is bad and everything new is cool. And then eventually whatever's new now will become old and then therefore won't be cool. Things can be good. Going back hundreds of years. They're good paintings. They're good. There's good pieces of music. There's good ideas. You should not throw out the Newfound Glory CD 9 years from now. You just should. It just because it's what Grandpa listened to doesn't mean Grandpa was a retard. There's stuff. Like I said, don't listen to Witchy Woman, and don't listen to Maneater by Hall & Oates. But then you can. There's some stuff by Yes and Led Zeppelin. Feel free to listen to it.
I just saw. Speaking of Hall & Oates.
What's wrong, yes. Maneater, man? Come
I just
on.
Saw that. What was that? What song is it with the video where they're in the big giant drum set?
Oh.
Stepping on the bass drum pedal?
Oh. Kiss is on my list, or.
I don't know.
But
I thought the video was amazing.
The old videos are great, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
All right.
Newfound Glory in here tonight. So no one else is as freaked out by this as Drew and myself, but we just heard a song
pretty weird, right?
That has never come up on this show by band, has never come up on this show, played out in the hall, which we've never heard played in this building before.
We were meant to be here.
And it was
tonight.
Right during the part about the seven virgins and the mule, too.
Right.
Yes.
Wow.
All right. Very freaky. Great magnet, Drew. It worked. I got to believe that's a message for us to start playing some more ELP on this show.
That must be what that
is. I got to believe.
Yeah, of course.
I got to believe. All right, we're going to play Lucky Man in the 11 o'clock hour. All right, Drew, where are we? Who are we talking to? What's going on? You're frazzled, Drew.
I am. I can't see.
You're questioning your faith now, aren't you?
My faith has been buttressed by this.
Right? That means anal, right?
Oftentimes.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're 22?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I'm a heroin addict. Me and my girl are both junkies. Right. We've been together for about 3 years.
Takes all kinds out. Mm-hmm.
And we started using about 2 years ago. We have amazing sex. It's just freaking amazing. Well, it always has been. And it was suddenly about 9 months ago, she just got uninterested drastically and suddenly. Mm-hmm. And she got locked up. I found out she was cheating on me during that time, you know, when she was kind of not paying attention to me. She got locked up in rehab for about 7 months. And she got out again. And
locked up in rehab?
Well, she did something stupid. She stole a bunch of jewelry from her parents, got off on a treatment in lieu of conviction. And she ended up, when she got out 7 months later, we got back together, started using again, getting high, and everything's been going great. Suddenly,
right back on track.
You
kids got a plan. You guys are on a rocket ship, straight to the top.
You know, Mike, the probability of you living to 40 is about zero.
Oh, I know. We got vegetations from IV drug usage, chances of overdose. I know all about it. Actually, I was studying to be a substance abuse counselor. I know a lot more.
Yeah, but you're
part
of
his research.
What? But your denial is so profound. It's
all right.
Profound.
Well, listen. What do you want to do? Would you like to quit?
No. He wants.
He just wants
to have sex
better
more.
Sex.
Yeah. All right.
Well, hang on a second, Mike. We got to take a break.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to just sit tight for a minute. I got to go back down that hall because we got to get back on track here.
Yeah.
We got to hear some really crappy Eagle song. Right, otherwise, things aren't going to be right.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh, maybe a little Moni Moni from Billy Idol. Huh? How about that turd?
Yeah.
We got to hear that one again, everybody. Oh, yeah. It's been too long. Yeah. Why don't you guys remake that one again, huh?
No.
For the third time?
That's
okay. Newfound Glory here. I'm going to see what's playing in that hall. It better be some ELP. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jordan and Chad here tonight from Newfound Glory. Catalyst.
Hello.
Name of the CD. And, at the risk of sounding like even more ass-kissing is going on toward the Newfound Glory CD. Catalyst, good name.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's just kind of talking about everything that's going on in the music in our kind of...
Genre.
Yeah. Look up Catalyst,
today.
Drew. It to me means starter. It's like the thing that activates things.
But it lowers the threshold for it to occur. So it increases the probability of something occurring.
The catalyst.
The catalyst is an enzyme, and literally, it's an enzyme that lowers the energy necessary to make a chemical reaction.
Well, then when you have like a two-part polymer, you have the catalyst and the resin. The resin sits around, and then you add a few drops of the catalyst to it, and pow, it's activated.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a fire starter, that catalyst. That's what the short white guy hustles on the basketball team is. He's a catalyst. He don't put the ball in the hoop, but he gets the fast break going.
Yeah.
In a biological system, they think of it as bringing things together to make the reaction occur.
Mm-hmm.
With everything, with the name, with the cover art, it's all about what's going on right now.
Yeah, well, it looks great. Look to see Thank that big painting. It's really amazing, amazing art. All right, let's... Chris, look up catalyst. All right, buddy.
Something that ignites change.
Something to do. All right, buddy.
Write a three-page essay.
Spell it. Yeah. We'll,
place of origin.
We'll get back to Mike. Mike?
Mike, the junkie with the girlfriend who doesn't want to have sex because she was cheating.
All right.
That's why she didn't want to have sex, because she was cheating, right?
That's what I'm thinking might be going on right now. I know that heroin sometimes causes sexual side effects, but...
Yep.
We've always had wonderful sex life. That's what I was saying. And I've never, and it just suddenly was so drastic about a week ago. And just like tonight, you know, she had a friend come in from out of town she hasn't seen in a year. So she's out having dinner and seeing a movie with him and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, she's always swearing up and down that nothing's going on. But she's always doing
How long has she been out of treatment?
About 3 months. About 3 months since she got out of treatment.
She's not going to meetings or anything anymore, nothing like that, right?
Huh?
She's not going to meetings anymore, not talking to her sponsor.
No, so nothing like that.
Is she on heroin again, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, she got back on.
She using anything else?
Huh?
Is she using anything else?
Well, she doesn't do anything else. She's on probation, so she can't smoke pot, which I think is a loaded dung.
She can shoot heroin, but she can't smoke pot.
By the way, if she's high enough, she can probably enjoy a New York Minute, Drew's new movie with the Olsen twins.
You're a dick.
She'd really have to be, you know, pretty
How would you know? You haven't seen it.
I read the reviews, sure. I've had people, had my assistant read me the reviews.
Not read them to you.
Not
favorable. Read them for you.
Not favorable. Yeah. Left this reviewer cold. All right. I'm going to see this movie, Drew.
Yeah, sure.
As soon as it comes out on my eyeballs, so it actually starts showing in my head. All right. No, I'm going to see the movie.
I'm absolutely sure.
Yeah. I'm a big sport.
Yeah. I got it. Read the book, too.
So. All right. Oh, well, hold on a second, Chris. Yeah. So, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to quit heroin, though, right?
No.
Oh, no, not really. No.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the whole thing. I don't want to sound like Pops Corolla here, but all bets are off while you guys are continuously getting high. I mean, the libido, the sex, the cheating,
all right,
the
but
whole thing.
Yeah, his thing is, why this week? Well, we know that she's cheated in the past, and we know that she's chaotic. She's probably a trauma survivor. She may fluctuate between being hypersexual and then completely shut down to sex.
Yeah.
She may be cheating again. She may be having a medical problem. Maybe she's now got hepatitis. Maybe she's got, you know, hepatitis C. Maybe she's got endocarditis.
Doesn't a constant drug use eventually, doesn't everything sort of eventually
break
eat into the, into the libido and the sexual function?
Absolutely.
Steroids, whatever.
Yeah, it usually isn't such an abrupt shutdown as Mike is pointing out. That's why he wants to know the solution now. He doesn't, you know, but the sort of chilling thing for me is that his girlfriend is just an object for him.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
she needs to function better.
She's getting high. Yeah, and then there's the thing, too. I mean, all bets are off. You're shooting junk, right? I mean, it's just...
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, all right. So, Mike, you're a young guy. You sound like a smart guy. As a matter of fact, being smart sometimes screws you up more because you get up in your head and you think you can handle things and you think you can sort of outwill things
well,
using your IQ.
Well, this thing is like, yeah, I know I get endocarditis, I can get hepatitis, I can die. Hey, I was going to be a counselor. So, anyway...
Right.
What are you going to do?
Right.
Like, that's just denial. It's
somehow.
It's blocking the experience of seeing yourself as you really are.
And the people that, you know, really are affected by it are the stupid people. He's an intellectual. He's got it. He's got it figured out. All right. Well, good luck. Let's talk to Melissa. Oh, all right. So, catalyst. Go ahead, Chris. You got it there, buddy?
Yeah. One that precipitates a process or event, especially without being involved in or changed by the consequences.
And that's what you're going to get if you get the Newfound Glory CD, everybody. Do you hear that? Precipitating a process or an event. Read that again, and this time...
What's number two?
No. Read that one again, Chris, and this time, do it like you're trying to move some product. You know what I mean? Really kick it in now. Sell it big. Newfound Glory CD's coming out called Catalyst, and I'll tell you why.
Cool. Okay. One that precipitates a process or event, especially without... being involved in or changed by the consequences.
Yeah! I'll tell you what.
If that sold. I want to buy 10 copies now.
Man, I'm like, I'm feeling rocked. Are you feeling rocked, Drew?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. And half a decibel louder, Chris, does not constitute bringing something home. Do you know what I'm saying? You want to get behind the mic, buddy. You got to really learn to punch it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, don't hassle my friend. I'm in with his brother, the Starbucks manager.
Oh, yeah. As long as your brother's Craig. Giving Drew
coffee.
30 cents worth of free Java once every 6 months.
That's what I'm talking about.
Drew, who likes free crap more than you?
Nobody.
Our bass player, Ian.
Really?
I love free crap.
Yeah.
We were at a signing today, and every signing, every signing we do at a store, our label will be like, all right, you can pick out four items, you know, to take from Tower.
I took
to buy.
Like six.
Mm-hmm.
Ian's four items are like the Sopranos box set.
Oh. Yeah. I got the Battlestar Galactica box set tonight.
Ian
that's
huge.
That's going to be worth something.
Ian picked like the $70 Schindler's List special package.
Oh, it's going right for the box.
Yeah,
stuff.
He grabs four items.
Wow.
Not four DVDs, four like box sets of 10 DVDs.
Yeah, that box stuff, it's like a brick of heroin. Like, it's expensive stuff.
Yeah.
I'm literally a millionaire. I don't even go there. No. Wow, that's smart, though.
Yeah.
You gotta appreciate that.
He said
that.
Four items. He's like, dude, four items, bro.
Melissa?
Hello?
What's happening?
First of all, I want to say, Adam, you are my god. I think you're the sexiest, most smartest man ever. I think you're so sexy. You're just
Anderson.
Yeah. Every time I'm on the show, there's always one girl that calls
really
and says that
because it probably only happens twice
when,
a year.
Well, I mean,
it's
every time I'm
more
been.
Of the great magnet again. So
right,
these guys are
all right. Yeah. Well, God bless you, Melissa.
And Drew, I just want to say I read your book Cracked, and I thought it was awesome. You did a really good job.
Thank you, Melissa. Appreciate that.
My question is like. Every guy that I've ever liked or all the guys I've ever gone out with have been a-holes to me, and I want to know why. Is there, like, I was molested when I was little. And
you were?
Yeah, a lot of stuff has happened since then. And
well, there you go.
Is that it? Or?
Trauma, things that are traumatizing and shattering in childhood become source of attraction in adolescence. That because you're like, drawn to it.
Yeah, but See, I'm in therapy now, and mm-hmm. it's not helping at all. It just seemed to be getting worse.
It'll take about 6 to 8 years, and it will help.
Yeah.
It takes a long time.
You'll be in your early 40s. You're just past menopause.
No, it takes a long time. And during that time, the therapist will help you make some better choices, and you'll see what you feel like with that.
And I have one more question.
Wait a second. Who molested you?
One of my friends, he was a lot older than I was.
How old is he?
He was 12 or 13, and I was like 6.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's bad, but you can overcome that.
Yeah.
Stick with therapy.
What was your other question?
I've been having a lot of panic attacks lately, like short breath, and all I can think about is just, you know, when I was little and just a lot of stuff that has happened, and I can't seem to, you know, get out of that frame of mind for like an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, what should you do, Drew?
Are you seeing a psychiatrist in addition to a therapist?
Yeah.
What are they treating you with?
Prozac and Wellbutrin.
Okay, you may be sure to talk to about the panic, because both of those medicines can make you sort of prone to panic. So there may be a switch ahead.
Maybe we should hear a little something from my newfound glory.
That's a great idea.
This, again, the CD is called Catalyst. Chris.
No, I mean, Emerson and Palmer.
I mean, really sell the definition of catalyst for those who've not been rocked by it yet. Oh, it's gone?
Gone.
Oh, okay. You don't remember it?
No more. Okay. Precipitation.
Precipitation. When water.
Without changing its character.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And let me tell you how that that translates into just never-ending guitar riffs and just beating the crap out of them skins and belting vocals. We're going to hear it. That's what we're going to do.
Here's a riff for you, Adam.
Yes. Oh, we're going to hear it?
This is a
riff
for
the song?
You
know the song we're playing?
Doubtful.
That's right.
With two L's.
Here it is. Yeah, another good ending.
The bank, bank, the bank.
Newfound Glory, everybody. Catalyst, name of the CD. Out today. Sounds great.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, very sharp. Very clean.
Nelly Furtado's going to be on. You're going to be like, you know that Newfound Glory band?
That sucked, man.
What happened to them?
A bunch of... Oh,
here's what they said about you.
They said they liked your commercial stuff, but didn't appreciate your artistic side. No. Check it out. I was really into that.
I like the artistic stuff, man.
I know. I know, but that's not what I'm going to tell her.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
She's cute, too. You know, she's little. She's nice. Mm-hmm. She's Canadian, I think. Isn't she?
Canuck?
She's something. She's got something going in her too, but it worked. Well, I mean, she's got crazy nationality going, but it's just not too much. You know what I mean? That's the key. Just a dash. It's like that's how nationalities work best. Just a little dash, a little sprinkle. You know, it's like when they come by with the pepper grinder. You know,
not too much.
You get the salad. You go, okay, that's good. When? You see that's what we need to do with some nationalities. When? That's enough. That's good. We should all mix up. And then just be like, when? Be with the pepper and the when, and everyone will be fine.
When did we start saying when? Because people come by and say when. They don't mean say when. They mean say when to stop.
Right. When? I know. Some jackass got this started 200 years ago.
No, it was the 60s.
Oh, really?
I swear to God, that's when it started.
Yeah. I always feel bad, too. Well, here's the thing. The pepper, I don't like it when they hold the pepper grinder, and they don't. They used to just turn it up and down. It was just straight up and down. It was like a tower. Now there's this slick move. Maybe it started when Don Johnson started holding his gun sideways instead of up and down. They do this move where they're holding the pepper grinder now, and the part where the pepper comes out is a little bit higher than the head part that they're turning. And I'm thinking, I don't like this. I want it to. I like it turned over, but I always want a little more cheese, and I'm always scared to say anything. Like they go, "You want
eat the cheese?
You want the cheese?" And they go, "Yeah, okay." And they sprinkle a little on, and then they go, "There you go." And I'm always thinking, I want to grab their wrist and like dip it one more time.
Let me get friends to eat the cheese.
You know what my plan is?
Never mind.
My plan is to open a restaurant where we double cheese you, okay. Where we come back. So you order your pasta dish. Don't make the face.
Just no, I'm just trying to
open the mind, open the heart, open the ears, close the eyes.
I'm thinking.
Close the eyes. Okay.
It's kind of like the self-butter thing.
They come by, they put the cheese on. Yeah, except for you get the second round, which is okay. Put the cheese on. You eat all your rigatoni with the cheese on it. You get down to that bottom level now.
You need some more.
So, that's where we come back, and we hit you again with the cheese.
It's going to be called Adam Cuts the Cheese.
It's called
you cut the cheese.
More cheese,
cut the
please. More cheese, please. But here, we don't stop it there. You order like the fudge cake for dessert. Pow! We come by and hit you with the cheese, and we just come in. We keep coming with the cheese. Like even part where you open your mouth. Yeah, you actually with each noodle you put in your mouth, we just stand there and spoon that grated Parmesan.
Awesome.
You'd go back, wouldn't you?
Of course.
You do want the cheese though. After you've taken 6 or 8 bites out of the pasta, you want the more. You want the cheese, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay. Of course. Let's say that. Wait, maybe they should leave it there.
I want to open an In-N-Out in Florida.
Oh, do they not? They only have them out here.
Man. California. Only California, and there's one in Vegas, and I think there's one in Arizona.
I think the White Castle guys would have you killed.
Yeah.
Well, are they out in Florida?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'd like to just
Rednecks
load up a van. Here's what we would do. We drive through an In-N-Out, and we order like 1,700 double-doubles. And we put them in a heated van. We just get some speed freak just to drive a van with the heater on as fast as he can to Florida. It's like Smokey and the Bandit.
Then he opens
a van in the parking lot of the concert, and it's like
fast.
11 bucks a burger. You know, we pay the guy $50, and he gets to keep one of the burgers, and we really turn a profit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. If there's an In-N-Out in Florida.
In Coral Springs, I bet, too.
It would work.
It would be huge.
Oh,
it would be.
Best burger.
It's huge out here. Why wouldn't it be big everywhere else?
I have no idea how stuff works where the places that have, they've had one stand, you know, like Pink's Hot Dogs or something.
Yeah.
It's been one stand for 45 years. Anytime you go there, there's a line of stoners as far as the eye can see. Logic would just say, please just open another one down the street. And people are sort of like, well, it wouldn't be the same. Well, here's how you make it the same. Just put the same goddamn stuff in there. And believe me, people go there and it'll be cool.
What about that one place in Florida, Cheeburger, Cheeburger?
Cheeburger, Cheeburger, yeah.
And they have
that's kind of like the same thing.
Well, they have that, the what is it, the
5-pound hamburger, and if you eat it all, you get a picture on the wall or something.
Oh, really? I like the ones where they try to kill you. They give you like a
only in Florida
blockage right there. Yeah. Eat the biggest. And who's who? No one's happy. The guy's trying to choke the burger down. The management gives away the burger. You get the picture.
Yeah, it's not a great experience. Can't be.
Christina?
Yes?
You're 19?
Yes.
What's happening?
Okay, every time a guy goes down on me, I always feel like I have to pee. Like, it feels really, really good, but, like, I'm scared I'm going to pee on him. Is that weird?
Some guys like that stuff.
You might. Yeah. Have you had an orgasm when a guy was down there?
No. Never, because I can't let myself get to that point because I'm scared I'm going
to. Why don't you talk to the guy about it? He'll be all right, as long as he gets a little bit of warning.
Tell him to bring like a 2-liter jug.
Because some women do ejaculate and some do pee. It's just that's what happens.
Isn't that strange when he's down
there?
So
that's
like,
common.
I can't like bring myself to it. Like,
no,
I.
But if you, if he reassures you that he'll be all right, you know, that just, you know, relax.
But that's, hey, what I like with right now, I can't even say the word pee without him getting grossed out.
That's not good.
He's like one of those, like, you can't say anything like that.
Well,
so that's
wait
a common
minute.
Thing is for
yeah, it
pee.
Is. Well,
not common, but
not
it happens.
That common.
It happens.
Well, hold on
like,
a second.
Is there anything like...
Hold on, Christina, quiet down. The guy's going down on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How squeamish can he be?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Go ahead and broach it with him. Tell him it feels real good. It feels so good. It's like being tickled or something, you know, right. And wet your pants. You know what I appreciate when I'm going down on a lady who's going to whiz? A little heads up. If you ever watched the war movies, the guy's in the machine gun nest, and one guy's working the machine gun, the other guy's feeding the cartridge or the banana clip in there. When he gets it locked and loaded, he does it on the top of the head, you know, do that move. Yes. That means it's time to start firing behind. They do it with the bazooka. Guy loads it in the back, pat on the head, trying to fire. I need the.
It's time to go.
Urine's coming.
Here it goes.
That's time. Time to pull out.
Locked and loaded. Here we go.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Someone could get hurt. Yeah, that tap on the head the bazooka guy gets. He's down on his knee, you know.
Then what's your move?
My move.
You just like tapping with the. You just like the sound of the tap.
I like the sound of the tap.
I do. Bazooka guy's loaded. Oh, come on, Drew. Yeah. I do the shoulder roll. Okay. I do the slow motion shoulder roll.
Yeah, yeah.
And the dive. And the big explosion behind me. Do that move.
The piece sends you.
Yeah. Usually and freakishly off a pier that's exploding. Big explosion where I'm going in the water. Yeah. Newfound Glory here tonight. Yeah, see, it doesn't work. Right? Oh,
this
no.
Is great.
Wait, here we go. There we go. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Chad and Jordan here tonight from Newfound Glory.
Yes.
Catalyst. Name of the CD, Drew.
Yep.
Explain why Catalyst is going to rock your world.
Because... it's going to take you and convert you.
That's right.
Convert you.
Yes.
That's right. If you're an enzyme or a protein, just an enzyme.
You just got to be a chemical.
You got to be a chemical.
And you'll be converted to something.
It's going to turn you into something else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Emily?
Yeah.
You're 22?
No, I'm 15.
Oh.
Oh, really?
All right.
Yeah. I called you guys probably about 3 weeks ago. I was a cutter, and I was addicted to Vicodin and Percocet. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for advice on if you guys thought AA would help me. And I've been doing so great now thanks to what you guys have told me and Dr. Drew. I think that maybe you guys don't think that everything you say really touches some people, but you guys really helped me.
Oh, that's great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's no problem. Really, you know, and I have 33 days clean today, you know. So
wow,
I
that is a big deal. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is huge. You got a sponsor right now?
I'm in the process, but my dad's trying to change my home group because he wants to run errands while I'm in my meetings.
Okay.
Your home group? How's
just
that work?
The meeting, her main meeting.
Oh.
But,
your home, that's like your home base.
Yeah. You get yourself a sponsor, even if it's just a temporary one. Just get one and get going on those steps, okay?
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, see? Touching people's lives, Drew.
Yeah, see?
That's what we're doing.
Told you.
I keep telling you, this is more than a paycheck.
You guys are like catalysts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We converted change.
That is so heavy, man.
We initiated change in Emily. Oh, by the way, Newfound Glory can be found on Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow night.
Huh?
Yes. Or so it says here. I saw that, and I forgot to mention it. But if you watch that, we should be watching Jimmy Kimmel Live anyway. And
does he still give his band shots of liquor before they go on? On TV?
Yeah, there's no more boozing on camera on the show. But you guys, you know, feel free.
Snoop Dogg was there last time we were there.
That's pretty cool. I think you were there, too.
He may smoke some pot sometimes, Snoop Dogg does.
No.
I think he quit.
He had a spiritual leader with him, and he said he'd stop.
Oh, the Reverend Bishop Don Magic Juan? Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you, he told me some, he spoke some very important words to me, the bishop did once, words I'll never forget. And I think have changed me, not only as a husband, but as a father and a man, which is green is for the money and gold is for the honey. That's
profound.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful stuff. Yeah. He tends to wear green and gold sequins suits, by the way. Maybe they're just LeMay.
And cars.
A lot of nice cars.
Green cars.
Yeah. Not too many guys, by the way, drive a Rolls and live in an apartment. But Don Magic Juan, yeah, he can pull that off.
Wow.
Rolls, a caddy, and lives in a crappy one-bedroom.
And a diamond-studded cane.
Yeah. And a chalice, by the way.
Screw the home, get a cane.
Right.
Diamond-studded.
Yeah. Better. Because let me tell you something. Where are the four of us right now? Well, I'll tell you where we're not. We're not at home, are we?
No.
No. So, if we had invested our money in a gold chalice, or perhaps a studded cane, or fedora, people would be able to enjoy it. But where's our houses? Well, our houses are at home. And where are we? Well, we're not there, are we? So how are people going to know what our scene is about? I can't bring my sofa and lamp with me. You see what I'm saying, Drew?
We need Snoop up here. We haven't had up here in a long time.
We got to get Snoop up. Yeah. See, he can explain this whole theory better than I.
Yeah. It's time.
Linda?
Hello?
Well, there she is.
Hey, 17, what's up?
Yeah, my parents have always been, like, they argue a lot, and it's been getting more violent.
Yes.
Describe the kind of violence you see.
Like, my dad would do something stupid, and then my mom would get extremely angry, and she'll usually, like, pick up something. Either she'll throw it, hit it against the wall, or use it on my dad.
So she actually strikes him with things.
Yeah.
You know, you should really report that, Linda.
Yeah.
That's domestic violence.
Yeah, we had, you know, a cop came by once.
Cops came by. I know this is going to sound very...
Yeah.
Like I'm stereotyping, but Jewish family?
No.
What?
I'm Asian.
That's shocking. I do not. Not Jews?
No. I'm Buddhist.
You're Buddhist?
Yeah.
What's the nationality of the family?
Oh, we're Vietnamese Chinese.
Chinese?
Mm-hmm.
What's the first? You said Chinese and what?
Oh, Vietnamese.
It's comical. The phone has to cut out for each time we want to hear an answer. Chinese and what? Nice.
Vietnamese.
Yeah. All right. Tough culture.
Wow.
And this can screw you up, by the way.
Being around violent parents.
It's got to be terrifying for a kid to see mom going off and dad going off on mom and picking up things.
Even when my parents were, like, first married in Vietnam, they did that, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, my older siblings saw everything. And they're older now, and they're all, you know, out of the house. But, it still happens to me.
Why do they stay married?
Well, it's great love.
It's great I don't know, because they're never going to change, and I don't know.
All right. Well, here's the thing. You're 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a senior in high school?
No, I will be next year.
Okay. Because you have to spend as much time out of that house, you know, so you don't get hit by a flying rolling pin or something like that, as possible. Can you get involved with school, you know, get involved with the volleyball team, you know, extracurricular activities?
I try my best to join as many things.
Great. Go to college far away. Don't go to UC Santa Cruz. You're in Monterey. And go to college somewhere a decent distance and realize that this is going to affect how you think about men, the kinds of people you're attracted to, what your choices are, how you act in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tend to go off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to really watch it.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I see myself doing it now.
You what?
I see myself, like, getting angry quickly.
Yeah. You've got to contain that. You've got to figure out a way to act as if you haven't been influenced by this. If you can't, it has to be treated.
How do you do that, though?
It's hard.
It just gets ingrained in you. You react a certain way.
It's hard. It's in the wiring at a certain point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you strip that wiring?
Yeah, behavior. You know, you can try to train yourself, but if you can't, then you got to go to therapy.
Yeah. You end up killing a guy with an ashtray.
Yeah.
Your ashtrays are weapons, over those big glass ones especially.
Oh, yeah.
A little Vietnamese, throw one of those 170, 180 miles an hour to where take your head clean off. Boom.
Well, right, wasn't there a James Bond?
there's a...
Right on top of the old helmet there.
Yeah, Odd Job, I think, was the Japanese or Chinese guy used to throw the derby.
Yeah.
Take your head off.
Odd Job.
Yeah. Yeah, he grew up around a family that fought a lot and threw hats at each other.
He perfected a way to make it...
what was that kung fu movie where the guy had the thing that goes over the guy's head and he pulls off the guy's head?
I don't know.
I don't remember. Anyway.
You may have been high.
No.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. You can throw a yarmulke or a fez and not cause a lot of damage, but you start throwing those derbies, especially, you know, you spin them. It becomes a. And by the way, we're talking about a famous James Bond movie, but whoever read the script must have taken a pause at that point. Went huge Chinese man, Odd Job. He's the muscle of Goldfinger. Uses his derby like a guillotine. Like, Herb, you want to come in here and take a look? I think we got a typo here.
Yeah.
No, he uses the hat as a weapon. What's he do? Does he, suffocate people? No, he throws it at them. Cut their head off.
Throws the hat.
Is it a metal hat with a blade? No, regular derby.
He snaps it.
Herb, isn't that just felt with some cardboard? No, he really got a lot of wrist action. Just go with me on this one. I don't know.
He'll show you an example. He'll give it a statue.
Charlie Chaplin or Stan Laurel when I think derby. Or, what about one of them ninja throwing stars? No, we're going with derby. All right. I don't know if the studio's going to buy that, by the way. Oh, no, you'll see it. We'll test. It tests great. Takes the head of a statue off. It's great. Hey, I don't know. As a kid, it was scary, too, seeing the derby flying. But the blades never came out on it or anything. It was just, he just took his hat off and threw it at somebody. All right. Shows that anything can be a weapon.
Well, that's, I think, that was the implication, is that who knows what else this guy's got up his sleeve.
Yeah, if he can kill you with headwear, imagine what he could do with a knife. I think that's
or a scarf.
Or a scarf. If he had a kerchief.
Oh, my God.
He'd take out a whole regiment. Jake?
Hi.
Speaking of scarf, Tony Randall died today.
Oh, yes, Tony Randall. All right. Now, Tony Randall, one of the last of the scarf wearers from the Odd Couple, of course, and a rich history. But Tony Randall's a guy, he died at 84. Everyone just sort of thought he was gay, but I think that's just because of his character, and maybe the scarves weren't helping.
Right. Ascots. They weren't even scarves.
Ascots. Left behind like a 5-year-old,
7-year-old,
and a 7-year-old.
Yeah, I'm angry about that.
You don't like that. You think that's selfish?
Yeah, when he was at 77 having the kids, I thought, oh yeah. Come on.
One of them is 5.
That is so wrong. That is so horribly unthoughtful to the kids.
By 79, you should have the quiet dignity to pull out.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Just
what it's like, though, for the woman to see a 79-year-old man, you know.
No, I don't.
Thankfully.
Do you know what it's like? tell us.
Come on, Adam.
What's it like?
Well, what I mean is it's not pretty. You want him to stay in. Plus, they don't get a whole lot, just like a drop.
The Trojan company is going to come up with special senior brands. I'm going to talk to them about that. But I remember thinking to myself,
unfair to the kids.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's what it's like, guys.
You're not lived. And I said to myself, dude, how long do you think you're going to live? 90? At 90, you're going to be a father with a 14-year-old? It's not right.
Not fair to the kid for a 7-year-old.
Right.
All right, but let me.
Horribly
but here's,
selfish.
Here's the sound to me. Tony's like, I'm going. I'm close. Ah!
Yeah, and then this.
it's just him just hitting the pavement. All right. But here's the thing. Yeah, let me ask you this, Drew. I know we look at it as like a novelty to have this old. I mean, to the kids, is it just dad dying or is it this old guy?
It's just
and dad and old guy. Same. But are they prepared for it? You know what I mean? Like,
but that,
I don't can think, they do know, the math? The 7-year-old,
no, not a 7-year-old.
You know what I mean?
No way. If you, they were 12 to 14, I could see them sort of getting ready. But not 7, 5, no way. No way. That's devastating. Devastation.
Is it devastation? Devastation. All right.
Imagine one, is one of them a girl? You know what that's going to be.
I don't know. Yeah, eating disorder. And what is in the? But how old's the mom?
She's young.
Young, like 20s,
30s, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, not gay.
Were the two kids their first kids?
His first kids. Imagine hers too.
Imagine that. By the way, starting the family in the later 70s. You know what I mean? Not 62.
This is a Hollywood thing. It's like, hey, you're not going to live forever. You're not. I know you feel like you're going to. You're not.
Yeah, but maybe this is, in his narcissistic mind, this is a way to live forever. Like, I'm going to die. I got to get out some kids before I hit the dirt.
There is that, yes, with no thought of what it means to the kids.
All right.
And, by the way, I'm not going to die anyway, so I'll be around forever. So.
What if the his wife wanted that, though? You know, like, well, you're going to die. I need kids.
Yeah, what about it?
They got married to kids right away.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so you're glad. You're happy.
No, I'm not happy.
Who's happy, everybody?
Not at all. Not
yeah,
at all,
who's next? Who do you want to die next? Is that anyone over 70? Everyone should die? Okay. Tony Randall, great entertainer, dead. Drew couldn't be happier. Hearts go out to the kids. All right. Should we take a break?
Yes, please.
Newfound Glory in the studio tonight. We'll be right back after this.
In a horse.
Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Jordan and Chad here tonight from Newfound Glory. Catalyst, name of the CD. Drew angry at Tony Randall. Tell you one thing that's smart. Tony Randall from when Odd Couple was on in the early 70s, now, you know, 30 years, about the same. It looks about the same.
Same guy, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't change. You know, if you go, you can start sporting a look. Like, if you start wearing glasses or a kerchief around your neck or an ascot or something, if you go with one look, you can just ride it out.
Better pick one you like.
You got to. It doesn't even have to. It just has to be sort of universal and kind of old, but you can just stick with it. Or a special hat or a blazer or something like that. Glasses will help. But you got to stick with the same glasses.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Become like a George Burns. Oh, and like a cigar or something, or a cane or something like that.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Were the two guys from The Odd Couple the two guys from Grumpy Old Men?
No.
The original, the movie The Odd Couple. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's Jack Lemmon and
Walter Matthau.
But that's not who we're talking about.
Okay. We're talking about Jack Klugman and Tony Randall, the television version.
Okay. Right, right. They did, yeah. It's like MASH. They changed the cast. Jake?
Hey.
Jake?
Hi.
You're 21?
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, this phone cutting out part, here's the second part where I sound like a tar. It's like, Jake, you're on the line. Hi, how you doing? Jake? Yeah, hi.
We don't hear anything. Just so you know, we hear blank.
That's right.
And then suddenly the voice will start about four and a half. Yeah, I got you now.
What's happening, Jake? Not your fault.
I'm having an issue. When I have sex, I would pretty much go for a few minutes. And then after that, I pretty much go soft.
Are you wearing a condom when that happens?
I'm sorry?
Are you wearing a condom when that happens?
Yes.
Always?
Yes.
So it's a condom issue for you?
I went to a strip club the other day with a couple buddies and everything, and, you know, did a couple things, got a lap dance and everything, and even one time everything was going fine, and then a couple minutes later, same thing happened. So even at that time, I wasn't having sex, but, you know.
Are you on any medication?
No.
So you get it going for a little bit, and then it falls off.
Right.
And no orgasm.
No orgasm.
And do you have a girlfriend?
No, not right now.
You got to work it out. You got to get a girl. You got to work it out. Let me just say this.
That's an anxiety thing. You know, that's some people would say that's a castration anxiety, all kinds of stuff like that.
Here's the thing. It's like a ball player can't use a new mitt every game. You got to get one mitt. You got to put some mink oil on it. You got to put the belt around it. Put the ball in it. Park dad's car on it. Work it in. It's a little stiff, but by the middle of the season, it's really starting to feel right.
And you say all of a sudden, you should run over his nuts?
run over, no, put a belt around it,
and then
his dad parked the car on his nuts. No, you bounce.
Oil your balls.
You as a young man, if you bounce from one night stand to one night stand to one night stand, it's like you using a new mitt every time you go out to play softball. You got to get that one. You got to break it in. You got to get your stink on it. You got to oil it up.
Has he ever done that?
Have you ever oiled up his mitt? Well, I get lost in my own metaphor sometimes. Are we talking about softball?
Yeah, softball.
Jake?
Yeah.
Have you had a long-term girlfriend?
Not really.
This show is comical.
Wait, answer that again.
Yeah, yes or no?
No.
I can't do the show. I can't do it. We can't hear their answer. Ironically, we hear the last eighth of a syllable of their goddamn answer.
Have you done this before?
Hello?
No. Here's how it sounds like. Drew, ask me. Hey, I'll be Jake. Go ahead.
Okay. Have you got that relationship where you've worked things out before?
There's a beat and a half, and then you hear
that. No, let's keep going. Okay, this show sucks. Have you had that girlfriend yet?
Well, I said... That's what we hear. All right. Hey, you know what we need? You know, Drew, go out in the hall and tune in the show so you can hear what they're saying.
Yeah,
and come back in and report it to me. Or get one of those dry erase boards and hold it up to the window so I can find my answers. Jake.
Yeah.
All right. Have you had a long-term girlfriend before?
No.
Okay. That's what you need.
Dear God. Yes. Get a girl. Get that mitt. You understand?
For some reason, the deal is, at your age, if it's not a medical issue, and it might not be a bad idea to get that checked out, make sure you're okay, but it's anxiety, it's nervousness. Something is making you very anxious about intimate physical contact with a woman at a certain point. It's just overwhelming.
And it's never, I mean, everybody, repetition, for Christ's sake.
It's also why guys get fetishes, too, to avoid this kind of thing. Let's see if he has a little fetish thing.
Really? Yeah. I don't think we're going to figure that out. Here's the deal. I mean, whatever it is you do, you will be 1,000 times better at it after you do it 1,000 times. Think about doing the radio show, doing those college lectures, whatever it is, the band. My God, first time you got up on stage. I mean, how much harder. Better are you now?
Yeah.
And to ask the first time you got up on stage, hey, why isn't it happening? That's a ridiculous question. Or what if you just got up on stage, you played one song, you just did it once a year? Well, you'd be at the same place. That's what these guys who have the one-night stands twice a year do. They want to know why they're not meshing as a unit, why the band doesn't sound great. Well, you got to put together a set, and you got to play it five nights in a row over the course of a year, and then something's going to start happening. Yes?
Yes.
That's right. That's the catalyst. Melanie?
Yes, hi.
You're 23?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
As I told the guy that answered the phone earlier, when I masturbate, at the moment of climax, well, it's not a gratifying experience. Instead, I sort of am overcome by just, I'm upset and I start crying.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have a good feeling. You have a overcome negative, dysphoric feeling.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine it has some weird subconscious thing to do with previous failed relationships. But my question
No. Keep going. Your question is?
Oh, no. I just don't want to spend the balance of my days like this. I'd like to know how to overcome it.
How much time do you spend? You masturbate every day?
maybe 3 times a week, maybe.
Yeah. And yet it feels bad each time.
Yeah.
Well, it feels bad when you're done.
Right.
How's the orgasm itself?
This is a relatively newer thing. Like, it didn't used to be that way for me.
How long has it been that way?
I guess a couple of years.
A couple of years, but you're still doing it 3 times a week.
Wow. I admire that.
Are you depressed generally?
I'm sorry?
Are you depressed generally?
What?
Are you depressed?
I don't think I am.
You don't feel depressed? Are you on any medication?
No.
Anything weird with the family? Ever molested or anything good like that?
No, I think my family life's been all right.
And everything's been good? All right. Well, I don't know. Women do get emotional and can get weird and can get into strange cycles.
But this is dysphoria. It's not just an overwhelming feeling. It's a acutely negative.
I'm sorry?
Do you have a boyfriend?
No, I haven't for a long time.
Do you feel lonely in those moments?
That's probably a large component of it.
All right, that makes sense. That you suddenly feel the emptiness, the lack of a connection.
Yeah.
That's a good thing that women can feel.
I just feel disgust myself.
I know you do.
Like, oh, Christ, look at you.
Yeah.
She stopped. Please, you promised you wouldn't do it again, and now here you are.
Oh, look at the mess.
That's your mess. It's a mess. You think the maid doesn't know? She knows. Believe me, she knows.
Thank God she cannot communicate
in your tongue. Because she could, she'd give you an earful, mister.
Yeah, just like she gives her neighbors and husband.
Oh, just, you kids. Just look at you.
Anybody will listen.
You, same old, same porn, same spot, same thing.
But Melly, clearly,
you're a mess.
It just reminds
Take
you
Take a good look in the mirror.
The
look
empty
at you.
Feeling you have. You're not with somebody.
You think your dead grandfather would appreciate you seeing, one knee down on the ottoman, looking like some kind of maniac,
he
the veins sticking out
he
in your neck.
He knows.
Sports page spread out. It's disgusting.
Like a dog. It's like
clean yourself up.
Sports page.
Put the remote back where it was, by the way. FYI. You know, the old lady coming down the stairs seeing the remote sitting in the potted plant. And she knows. She knows you threw it right at the point. Because I'll eject things. You know what I mean? Pow.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. I'm disgusted with myself.
Yeah.
Newfound glory here
we're
tonight.
We're all disgusted, though, too. Thanks for sharing.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Well, that's the show. Newfound Glory, everyone. Catalyst, name of the CD. It is going to promote some rock and change in you organically. Nelly Furtado is coming in on Thursday. I'll be doing a little voiceover work for their little show called The Family Guy on Thursday, too.
I got to come see that.
Well, cool. Play your cards right, Drew.
I think
Thursday morning. All right. Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us again.
Thank you.
Get the Newfound Glory CD. Like I said, you might be able to download a song or two, but you're not going to get this crazy, beautiful artwork, the jacket, the cover, and all the way through. Fantastic. It's suitable for framing. We'll take a extendo 22-hour break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. You know what it's like, though, for the woman to see a 79-year-old man,
No, I don't.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.